It's ready. Just put it in front of you.
Okay.
Here. I think we'll get started here. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board slash council may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. Board slash council may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners Zoning Commission or the Clark County Planning Commission for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room. With a 48-hour advance request, a sign language interpreter, or other reasonable efforts to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530 or Relay Nevada toll-free at 800-326-6868. Supporting material provided to board slash council members for this meeting may be requested from Tammy Harris at 702-298-0828. Supporting material will also be available at Clark County Department of Administrative Services, 500 South Grand Central Parkway, 6th floor, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89155. Supporting material will be available on the Clark County's website at https://clarkcountynv.gov/searchlighttab. Board Council members, Bradley Longton, Chair, Patricia Main, Vice Chair, Terry Irons, Kyle Myers, and Nancy Whitney. Secretary is Tammy Harris, and County Liaison, Mark Moskowitz. We'll call the meeting to order, and if we could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Start off with roll call. Brad Longton here.
Kyle Myers here.
Terry Irons here.
Patricia Main here.
Nancy Whitney here.
Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You'll be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time that they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board slash council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board/council wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board/council by majority vote. Approval for the minutes for March 9th, 2022 for possible action.
I'm going to make a motion we approve of the minutes for March 9th, 2022.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Approval for the agenda for April 13th, 2022, and hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action.
I'd like to approve of the agenda for April 13th, 2022.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll start off with informational items. First, we'll receive a report and updates from the South County Liaison, Mark Moskowitz, for discussion only.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick update. I want to thank Kim Garrison Means for reminding me to the spirit of the land. Grand opening at the Marjorie Barrett Museum at UNLV on March 25th. I was able to see Wayne and Judy over there as well. It was a great reception, a lot of awesome artists in the community. And as you can see in the room here, I'm probably taking Judy's thunder, but we have the exhibit here as well. And that'll be running from March 25th through July 23rd. And also at the Laughlin Library, we'll have one as well, April 10th through June 25th. And I encourage everyone to check out all the exhibits if you have the time. It's really cool to see so much art from our community partners and local artists, so many people that I've met that I had no idea had such great talent. So Judy can show you her art and Wayne as well back there, but there's so many people that I didn't know can do so many great talents. So it's a wonderful exhibit, and if you have any time, please go check it out. So thanks.
Next, we'll receive a report from Metro Police regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns for discussion only. You can go up to the podium if you'd like.
I'm Officer James Rubio, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. For the month of March, calls for service for the search light area. We had 29 calls for service compared to last year, we had 18. So a difference of 61%, or we will say a difference of 13. Traffic citations in the search light area for the month of March were 54. We had 0 DUIs in the month of March. Also, battery domestic violence arrests in search light had 1. It was a juvenile arrest. 0 bookings and 0 juvenile citations. We also had 3 crime reports that were taken for the month of March. There were 2 battery reports and 1 grand larceny auto report. And one of the battery reports was dropped by the district attorney's office for insufficient evidence. One of the cases is still open, and the 3rd case for the grand larceny auto.
Any questions?
I have a question. Do you know anything about the Carter's Trailer Park and how they're cleaning that up and what the status of that is?
I do not. That was
thank you.
Thanks. Next, a discussion and community input with the Fines and Justice Center regarding experiences with fines and fees stemming from traffic and misdemeanor tickets for discussion only.
Nervous. We had a very robust meeting this afternoon, so I'm excited to be here.
position, I felt it was important, we feel it's important, that we hear from people in areas that don't always have a voice. And it's important. It's what informs our agenda. Nick and I have some autonomy on what we are planning to work on as relates to our organization and the kind of work that we do. But rather than just decide something, we want to hear from people who live here and who these laws impact and who these policies impact. And so that's one of the reasons why we're embarking on what we're calling our world tour and talking about our work, what it means for people in the communities, what it means for us, and also so that people understand what's happening. Rather than, as Nick said earlier, you read something in a newspaper or you hear something that's not always accurate, we wanted to come and visit and share with you the work that we're doing and just hear from you about that.
Can I stop you just for a second? It's very hard to hear you.
Oh.
There you go. You can take it out of there.
Oh, I might start singing if I do that. I've always wanted to be a singer,
there
so.
And Lisa, I would just say, if you want to tell them there's a packet back there if they want to follow along.
There is a packet of slides that we prepared if you want to follow along with us and if you want to keep them. This does sound much better. Thank you, Michelle. If you want to keep them so that you can just look them over or and follow along with us. So, and we may deviate a little bit from the slides and not go into depth, so you'll have them to look at when you're done. So, who is the Fines of Peace Justice Center? We are a national organization. We're just about 3 years old. We're the only organization in the country that's dedicated solely to eliminating fees in the criminal justice system. Not fines, but fees. And working to make sure that the fines that come with often offenses are proportionate to a person's ability to pay. We work to create a justice system that we feel like works for everyone, that promotes public safety, and that doesn't penalize people who are not able to pay any fines that they are assessed. We are a nonpartisan organization. We work with folks on all political spectrums. Some of the partners that we've worked with with legislation before, Institute of Justice, the ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, Americans for Prosperity, Right on Crime, and ALEC. Those are some of the folks that we've worked with in the scope of our work. We do that in three ways: information, advocacy, and collaboration. So we have a clearinghouse on our website, the finesandfeesjusticecenter.org. We have a clearinghouse on our website that it's a wealth of information. Tons of research, tons of data, different articles about reform, criminal justice reform. As I said, we work in collaboration with some of those organizations that I mentioned earlier. And we do advocacy work. We advocate for, as I said, just criminal justice system, and we work across the board with everyone. Nick and I are going to pass the microphone back and forth. Is that okay?
All right. Thank you, everybody. So I think important to understanding our organization's goals is understanding the difference between fines and fees. So our goal is to make sure that fines are equitable. Fine is the punishment you get for committing a misdemeanor crime, a traffic offense, that sort of thing. We want to make sure that people have the ability to pay those fines, that they're able to get on a payment plan if they need help paying those fines, and that we have a robust community service options for people who, even with given time, will not be able to pay those fines or who choose to serve their community in lieu of fines. We believe that fines are necessary in the criminal justice system. They are an alternative to incarceration. And so we do not advocate in any way to, just across the board, eliminate fines. Now, fees, on the other hand, are something that's different. Fees can be set two ways in the courts. It's either through the legislature. So the NRS sets a litany of fees that you will see when you get any sort of ticket. The courts are required by statute to charge those fees. Judges have a little bit of leeway in reducing tickets, but those fees you'll find on all tickets. Now, each court is independent. We do not have a unified court system. So each court also has the ability to assess its own fees. be happy to note, here in Searchlight, your court chooses not to assess a whole bunch of extra fees. We've heard really good things about the judge, and looking at your fee schedule, it's one of the better ones in the state. The fees that you do have include a payment plan fee, which is something we're concerned with. It is on the lower end. It's a $20 fee if you need to get on a payment plan. So unfortunately, if you don't have the money to pay your ticket, you have to pay a little more money. The other fee is a bounced check fee. I think everybody understands that one and why that makes sense. When we look at in the cities, sometimes the fees get piled on. There's a ticket in this packet, and you'll see that the base fine for this ticket was a speeding ticket for $399. Now there's the administrative assessment fee. This is required by the NRS. That adds $95 to the ticket. Then there's a genetic marker fee. This pays for genetic testing, $3, construction fee, $10, specialty court fee, $7, a transaction fee because this ticket was paid online, $4. The $399 ticket, $399 being the punishment, turns into a $518 ticket. And what we have found is that many people, both in our cities and in our rural communities, often have a very difficult time coming up with $519. And so we want to ensure that while people are held accountable for their actions, they're not having to make those difficult decisions between paying for their car insurance or paying their rent or getting food for their kids and paying their ticket, and ensure that there's a process where they can be held accountable, pay the money, but also aren't buried in this court debt, especially in these fees. And the last thing I'll say about the fees is they are, the way we see them, the way our partners and see them is, it really is a tax. They fund essential government services. However, they do not need two-thirds approval in the legislature. They do, because they are not levied on everyone. So this is a way for the government to raise revenue, especially in some of our bigger areas, without having to get the type of consent from our elected officials that you would through a traditional tax.
And so we've heard from folks across the state about what their experience has been if they've had a traffic ticket or if they've had some other infraction. And we, on our website, we get a lot of people that send us emails and ask for our help and ask what is it that they can do. Some people have experienced having a driver's license suspended because they have not been able to pay an outstanding traffic ticket. And some people have had, as Nick said, to forego essential services or essential needs because they have not been able to pay a traffic ticket. And as we said earlier, we don't advocate for anybody breaking the law with impunity. That's not why we do the work that we do. And a lot of people think that when we say we want to get rid of fines in the criminal justice system, that that's what it means, and it's not. We don't advocate breaking the law with impunity. We think we all should be held accountable. But some of the consequences that we see when someone gets a traffic ticket, and let me say this also, when we hear traffic ticket, I think most of us automatically think of speeding. Am I the only one that does that? Do we automatically think of speeding? Well, you might be interested to know that we did some research for the legislation that we were working on that decriminalized minor traffic violations. We'll talk about that in a moment. But in that research, what we found is that the top 10 reasons that people were getting citations that turned into warrant had absolutely nothing to do with behind-the-wheel driving. They were what we call administrative. They were things like driving with an expired vehicle registration. They were things like driving with a broken taillight. Things like not having the little light on your license plate, like that bulb being out. Not having proof of insurance. Not having your driver's license on your person. Not having a registered trailer. Those were the things that people were getting traffic tickets for that were hundreds of dollars sometimes, that had all these fees added and ballooned to where people could not pay them. So I wanted to point that out because, again, we often think of speeding and, like, who wants people speeding through their community? Nobody does. But that's not what we're seeing. People are getting cited for the most and going into warrant status. And so some of the consequences that we've heard people say is, you know, I lost my driver's license because I missed a payment. And in the state of Nevada, as the system currently is, we talked about a payment plan. You can go to the court and ask the court to get on a payment plan, and we have not heard of one court that will not do that. So we appreciate that the courts work with people. But sometimes when they add that fee on, it makes it out of reach. If you're on a payment plan and you're making your monthly payments and then something happens, let's just say your payment is due today. Nevada does not have a grace period. So if your payment is due today and you haven't made it by 12 midnight, what generally happens is you're automatically in warrant status. And so for those folks, myself included at one time, living paycheck to paycheck, if my payment is due today and I don't get paid until tomorrow and I haven't made my payment, I'm in warrant status. Now, for some people, that may not seem like a huge consequence, but what happens is now there is a warrant fee added on. And in Nevada, before you can resume payment on the original fine, you have to pay the warrant fee. And so that's an additional barrier that sometimes prevents people from continuing to pay their fine, because now you have all of these additional fees added. That could turn into a loss of a driver's license. It could turn into jail time, because if you have a warrant and an officer stops you, the officer has great discretion. Now, we have some really great officers, particularly where I live in Las Vegas, who don't arrest people, but some do. And we've seen people be arrested and end up in jail for a traffic ticket that they weren't able to pay. That's counterproductive, because not only does it put that person in jail, they may miss work for a day or two, but it also costs the state money. It costs the county money when they incarcerate someone. We've heard amounts of anywhere from 100, and we have an officer here who may know more than I do, but it costs about $150 a day to house someone in the county jail. That's $150. An officer's salary for an officer to stop someone, tow their car, transport them to jail, we got numbers from Metro Police Department that that's anywhere from about $134 to $146 per day in officer salary. So now we've paid $150 a day to house someone, up to $146 in officer salary, and we're also giving that person credit for time served for the ticket, and so the state, the county has made no money. That's not an effective way to run a government. At least we don't think so. So why is this happening? Why are cities, why are courts relying on revenue from fines and fees? In the late 60s, the federal government passed some legislation that created a law enforcement administrative assistance. What it was is a grant program where the federal government gave money to states to run their criminal justice system, and it worked. We were getting federal funding, and it was working. But what happened when that federal funding was no longer there? States around the country began to impose fees to generate money for their courts. And that's where we see a lot of the fees. Nevada itself, it started our administrative assessment. That is a fee that was started out being, I think it was $5, and is now up to $120. It is added, it's added on to every misdemeanor and every felony conviction in the state. Our Supreme Court gets about 50% of their budget from that administrative assessment. So that's why we're seeing a lot of the fees, because unfortunately states are not able to fund courts the way we think they should be funded. So they're relying on these fees. Nick and I are supposed to be going back and forth, but I get so excited about this stuff that I just keep going on and on and on.
It's all good. Yeah, so like she said, the administrative assessment, one last thing in the administrative assessment is the revenue is down significantly. We learned this in a recent interim legislative committee. During COVID, obviously traffic tickets went way down. Not necessarily here, but in a lot of places, they dropped significantly. And the general fund had to fund the Supreme Court and the administrative office of the courts. They're down about 25% in the budget rate this year. So finding solutions other than relying on traffic tickets to fund our very important court system is going to become more important as we move forward, as traffic tickets become civil, and as cities find alternatives to enforcement, such as traffic calming infrastructure, and we start to see a reduction in tickets. One of our close partners, Alabama Appleseed, ran a survey of over 1,000 people who had experience with the court fines and fees, and they found more than 8 in 10 of them gave up necessities like rent, food, medical bills in order to make sure that they paid their court debt. About 45% of them said they had lost their license due to court debt, and nearly half of those individuals had spent time incarcerated in the local jail. So a couple of things that are happening right now. We passed a couple pieces of legislation last legislative session. One was AB 116. This decriminalized traffic tickets in the state. We were one of only 13 states that had criminal traffic tickets. The majority of other states treat them as civil. This had been brought 5 different times. So over 10 different years at the legislature, 5 attempts to decriminalize traffic tickets by bipartisan individuals. The first attempt was actually by Councilwoman Fiore in Las Vegas when she was in the assembly. It passed with complete bipartisan support. There was only 2 individuals who did not vote for it. And as of the first day of 2023, all traffic tickets will be civil. Minor traffic violations, not all. So reckless driving, DUI, speeding over a certain amount, those are still considered a crime in Nevada. But minor traffic violations, the ones that you're most likely to get on a day-to-day, those become civil, which simply means if you do not pay, you end up in collections versus ending up with a warrant for your arrest. The other piece of legislation that was passed ended the driver's license suspension for failure to pay. What our research showed is that Nevada's not a good place to not have a car, especially if you need to get to work and the government wants some of your money. I'm from northern Nevada myself. I grew up in a small town. There were 200 kids in my high school. We had no public transportation system at all. It was very difficult to walk, even in Reno, where I currently reside. We have no public transport. Our public transportation is very iffy. It's very hard to get to work. So we wanted to ensure that individuals who owe money to the state, to the county, are able to get to their job. They're able to continue to work. They're able to pay that debt. They're not going to lose their job. Or what was more dangerous and what we found was happening all the time was people who had their driver's license suspension because of the lack of alternative transportation were choosing to just drive with a suspended license and also uninsured, which made it dangerous for everybody else on the road. So those were the 2 pieces of legislation that we passed. Yes, please.
One of the things I want to point out about the legislation that passed, there seems to be, and we've heard from people that think that because traffic citations, minor traffic citations, are going to become civil versus criminal, that they're automatically going to be turned over to collections, and that's not the case. What happens, the process doesn't change. You get a ticket, you're still responsible for paying the fine. The fees don't go away. You're still responsible for paying the fees. You can still ask for a payment plan. You can still do all of those things. And there currently is a mechanism in place where traffic tickets are turned over to collections agencies. That's happening right now. So none of that changes. The only thing that changes is that system stays in place. The only thing that changes is there's not a mechanism for courts issuing a warrant. So what we're hoping is that with that gone, and we have our own Carson City, our state capital, Carson City, to look at as a model, because Carson City stopped issuing warrants in 2019, before the legislation even passed. And what happened in Carson City, what we found out from them, is that when they stopped issuing warrants, their collection rate actually went up. Because that warrant wasn't in place, people paid their tickets. And of the citations that had actually been turned over to collections, when they did that, Carson City saw an increase of 50% in their collection rate of cases that had been turned over once they got rid of warrants. And so we found that it is an effective practice. It doesn't eliminate people from taking responsibility for their tickets and paying them. It just prevents people from getting arrested and going to jail. But it's also productive because it generates the revenue for that court when people pay their tickets. It doesn't help anybody when someone doesn't pay a ticket, that court is not getting that revenue. And so I just wanted to point that out because there seems to be a misconception, perhaps not in this room. I don't think anybody here believes that. But we've heard from people who think that it's just going to automatically be turned over as a civil and people aren't going to be affected by it, and that's just not the case.
Okay, and we're just about to wrap up here. We did have, we got some statistics about recent traffic citations and other crime here in Searchlight. We pulled some numbers from the AOC just so that you would have them. Searchlight is interesting because it has a unique distinction of having the highest rate of traffic tickets based on population served. I'm sure that's not necessarily a surprise to anyone in this room. But the average tickets per about 1,000 served for any justice court is around 500. Searchlight, it's about 3,000. So it's a little over three tickets per resident served out here. Now, I mean, it's clear why, and you know, and whether or not that's something, you know, hopefully one day there's a solution to having people speeding through the main street of your town. I don't have that solution now, but it is an interesting, the numbers are interesting, and it, when you look at them compared to other crimes, right, looking at the last 3 years, you average between 40 to 80 misdemeanor cases that made it to filing each year, and about 20 felony cases. So the court operates mostly as a traffic court. And what our goal here is as well is to make sure that individuals who do get these traffic tickets as they travel through your town, that they are able to pay them, that you guys have a means to collect them, and that we can make sure that the debt isn't insurmountable for folks who make the mistake that it appears a lot of people do when they come through Searchlight.
So, what is it that folks can do? If y'all want to hang out with the Fines and Means Justice Center and help us with our goal. Nick mentioned the survey earlier. We have a version of that survey that we would love to, we're going to send it to Ms. Tammy. And she's going to send it out. And we would love it if you just took the survey. If it doesn't impact you, that's fine. We want to hear that. And this is not a gotcha tour. We're not going around trying to catch. But what we want to do is really hear from people. And for courts that are working with people and we feel like doing a good job, we want to highlight those courts. We want to make them a model for other courts across the state. What we're finding in some of the rural areas is that courts, their hands are tied. They don't always have ways to generate that revenue. And so we want to highlight the courts that are being affected and show other courts that this is what this court is doing. This is how you might be able to implement a similar system. Host a community event. Let people come and share their stories and share information on social media. And if you have a website, if you're have a website of your own or you're an organization, you know, share that with us. Share that with folks in your community. Just have a conversation because when it's all said and done, that's what this is about. We just want to hear from people. We want to make sure that people know what's going on. So that's it. And with that, we are happy to answer any questions. I ask that you not throw rotten tomatoes or anything at us, but we're happy to answer any questions or concerns. And we just want to hear from you. If we get yelled at, we're okay with that. But
okay, thank you. Any questions or comments on what was?
Sure. Comment would be, what about the towns of Beatty, Goldfield, and Tonopah? Don't they have some pretty high traffic up there?
Oh, they do. They do indeed. They are, I think the next highest is 2,000 per 100 residents. So we'll, you know, maybe we talk to the Sheriff's Department there and see if we can't get them to bump it up so you can fall into second place next time we come through.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I pull out on the highway every morning and I almost get ran over every morning.
Yeah.
I'm happy they're out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're not against the right people. No, we absolutely, it is dangerous and we would, you know, hopefully one day there's a solution that makes that safer. What does that look like? It's probably an infrastructure solution. Because I think a lot of people who speed through this town and a lot of these towns don't come through all the time. So it's not, you know.
Instead of 6,000, I'd like to see 12,000.
Hey, you know what? If 12,000 people are able to pay up, imagine the revenue from that.
They could slow down, too.
Yeah.
They could follow the rules.
We're not against that. That's not why we do what we do. Not at all. And that's one of the.
Yeah, we don't want to limit enforcement.
We're not doing that. I think it's horrible that people go speed. I have children.
Somebody's going to get killed.
Yeah. And we don't want that.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, thank you then. Thank you
thank
very much.
You.
Thank you.
Next, receive a report from Sandra Yasenchak with the Justice Court regarding statistics and other activities during the past month for discussion only.
Is for the month of March 2022. Our court calendar, we had 36 arraignments, 17 status checks, 5 preliminary hearings, 4 traffic bench trials. We did 43 warrants. We did a throughout combination of Metro, NHP, and Endow, 270 paid citations in full. Which is really good. Criminal court dates, April 12th and the 26th. Traffic court dates, April 13th and the 27th. All court dates are open to the public. You begin at 10. And like they said, we're pulling warrants because of AB 116. So we're busy. We got about 6,000 warrants we're going through. And if you got right in the timeline, you're going to get switched over to civil penalty. Or it's going to be dismissed, so we'll know more by the end of the year.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome to come by. You're welcome to come by anytime. Okay. No, a certain time period. We got to recall them all, and then we got to turn them over into civil penalties from 2016 above. It'll be civil penalties. So. Yeah, it is. Any questions?
I have a question. Can you separate out trucks, speeding trucks, from speeding cars and things like that?
No.
18-wheelers? No?
Just no.
Okay.
It's not an option.
Okay.
It's a vehicle.
All right. I guess there's a question in the back.
Let me ask, the warrants that are outstanding now that you're systematically purging through your system, if one of those people gets stopped now, are they still subject to arrest, or does the officer know that those warrants are being purged?
The officer and the warrants are going underway, but I don't know if they have any direction or not. This doesn't take into full effect until 2023. So as of now, if you have a warrant, you're going to get pulled over. We're just in the process to be ready by 2023. So we want to be all cleaned up by then.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. Next, we'll receive a report from Bradley Lockton, Searchlight Volunteer Fire District, regarding calls for services during the past month and other fire prevention issues for discussion only. We had 15 total calls, 14 were medical, and 1 auto for the month of last month. Any questions?
I have a question. Are we going to discuss the helipad?
No, that's, there's a, no, not at this time. This it's not an agenda item, and there is no issue, so. Any other questions? All right, we'll move on. We'll receive a report from Kathy Flanagan with Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of the water system for discussion only.
Good evening, Kathy Flanagan, Las Vegas Valley Water District. I'm sorry I missed last month's meeting, but I know my report was read into the record. But I just want to go back a little bit. So in February of 2022, Searchlight's water usage was 4.04 million gallons. Compared to that February of 2021, there was an increase of 210,000 gallons of water, which we estimated came from some high-use customers with leaks. So we went to those customers. Some of those leaks were repaired. We've got one customer that's not been compliant yet. So that brings us to March of 2022. Searchlight's water use was about 4.9 million gallons compared to March of 2021, where you were about 4.8 million gallons. So now our overage is 100,000 gallons. So we're getting better, and we're still working with that one client to fix their property. Otherwise, your system is stable. If there's any questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Next, receive a report from Will Smith with Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the wastewater system and water usage for discussion only. Kyle will read that.
Statistics for March 2022 treated an average of 43,000 gallons per day. Compared to March 2021, had an average of 34,000 gallons per day. So the flow increased by 9,000 gallons per day from last year at this time. No sewer service complaints for the month of March. Call before you dig, there was 14 Searchlight tickets for March. And then they have these reports at the back table there with the graph on it if you'd like to analyze that.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much. Next, receive a report from Parks and Recreation regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities for discussion only.
Hello, Avon Bilbray, Parks and Recreation. Our statistics for March were 4 programs, 41 visits, 2 rentals with 135 people in total. The Searchlight Egg Hunt is going to be Sunday, April 17th. At 10 a.m. It's for kids 12 and under. Also, the Spirit of the Land reception is going to be here April 30th from 1 to 3. And then I just wanted to mention, it's not on my report, but the county opened up a recreation specialist position, which was my old position. There's 15 openings in Vegas, but there's going to be one for our area. It is a full-time job. So if you know anybody that's interested, you can go on clarkcountynv.gov. Also, we're still looking for somebody for the Searchlight area for our youth programming. If you know anyone, I know I've said this a bunch of times, but they don't have to work 20 hours a week. If you want to work 6 hours a week, 8 hours a week, we will take anything we can get.
Will Parks and Rec be posting those positions?
Part-time positions, we don't post. Those are something that I can post in town, but the full-time position is posted.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, receive a report from Carolyn Adams with Searchlight Library regarding current and upcoming programs for discussion only.
Hi, I'm Michael Chapman, C-H-A-P-M-A-N, and I'm the library assistant with Caroline, who's the branch manager. And we got quite a few programs going on at the library. Starting on Tuesday, April 19th, we have a sewing, which will be inside this room at 11 o'clock a.m. They'll be working on making an apron. This is a new program that they've recently started, and you can bring your own sewing machine. We only have just a few available, and so therefore people have been sharing using the sewing machines, but it's something that the people are enjoying quite a bit. On Tuesday, April 26th, at 11:30, it's Customer Appreciation Day. It's an annual event, so we will be having donuts and pizza and sliders and beverages, so everyone is welcome. And that goes till supplies last, which hopefully will be quickly. And on Thursday, April 28th, we have painting, which is done in this room. That's done once a month, and the people who paint, we have around 10 to 15 people who come to that event, wanted some choice in what to paint. So Carol Penn's going to have a couple of different painting picture options for people to come, and that's enjoyable. And that's once a month. On Tuesday, May 3rd, it's the monthly book club. This month, they're reading Where the Crawdads Sing. And the book club generally has only a couple of people come to it, but it is open to anyone. We have plenty of books available to check out. You could also check out an audiobook of the book if you don't want to read, you can listen. And that's done once a month. And something that's being worked on is many people who live here in Searchlight don't have a high school diploma. So what Caroline is trying to arrange is having a program where people can get their high school equivalency, and there's quite a bit of interest in town for that. She's got at least 8 people that are interested, and they can provide Chromebooks for people to get their high school equivalency. And if you're interested in that program, please see Caroline. And for this week or next week, she's asking anyone to let everyone in town know about this, because it's creating a buzz and people are very interested in that. But that would be a program that would be starting in about a month or two.
With Parks and Recs.
With Parks and Recs. We're working with them with that, yes. And also at the Searchlight Library, we have after school programs for the children. We have board games and crafts when they get out of school a little bit after 2:30. And we also provide meals for them, take home meals between the hours of 2:30 and 4:30, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Any questions with any of our activities? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll receive a report from Kyle Myers regarding the current road conditions and public works concerns for discussion only.
In March, I reported 4 street lights out and 1 telephone wire hanging down into the park. That's all I have regarding that. I was asked by Patty to include the dumpsters at the local motels with no trash enclosure. I did notice the BV motel doesn't have a dumpster all of a sudden, so I don't know how we'd go about that. But I guess I'd turn it over to Patty to discuss the trash enclosures being brought into compliance.
As I understand it, it's a law that says that if you have a business, you have to have an enclosure for your dumpsters. If you don't have an enclosure, the likelihood of the tops blowing up and garbage flowing out during the high winds is obviously worse. And we have a lot of plastic bags in this town just flying around. And then they go out into the desert, and it just looks like a garbage dump. So I'm trying to find out how we can get the people to follow the rules and regulations as far as their dumpsters are concerned, or to get dumpsters that will close and stay closed so that the wind doesn't open up the tops and blow out all the garbage, whichever way the wind blows.
Have you brought these to the attention of the code enforcement?
Yes, many times.
What were their responses?
The one at BV Motel has been moved to inside the motel walls. They have not gotten any kind of cover for it. But if anything blows, it'll blow inside the hotel. So I guess they're deciding to do that. The El Rey, it's a disaster that I watched the stuff blow out in the wind. It was just amazing. And I called them and said, please close your dumpster tops. And I don't know if they did it or not. There's one in front of the fire station that is looks like it's being used by other people, and it is already overflowing, and it's only Wednesday. So if a wind comes up and the top is not closed, that's going to fly all over the place too. So I have asked for something to be done, but I would imagine that Public Works is the one that has to do it. So how do we do that?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say Public Works would be the ones to do it. You know, code enforcement would be the ones that enforce the code, you know. Public Works, so like the public right-of-way where the dumpster would sit, you know, it would be on public right-of-way, so that would be Public Works. But Public Works isn't going to, you know, foot the bill for these businesses and closures.
Okay, so who is going to figure out how they comply with the county rules?
I guess we could send them a request from the board to look into the issue.
Yeah, and I would also just suggest reach out to Public Services and see if they have any ways that they can, because I know they can go out there and check. I mean, sometimes they'll actually charge extra pickups, so that's another thing we can look into, is having Public Service.
Or possibly, like, you know, lockable lids or something like that.
But Kyle, you're correct in that code would be the one of, like, excess trash and all that stuff, but like then, and they work with the Public Service as well, kind of
right.
Square well. And it is difficult, it's always hard in every neighborhood with the wind and
right.
the dumpsters. I mean, it's always a challenge, so.
Of course. So,
so that's your department, right?
What's that?
Is that your department?
Which, me?
Yes.
What department would that be?
To take care of this problem.
Well, I guess it would. It's not an individual necessarily.
No, it's not an individual. It has to be the entire group. So I'm finding I've done my part many times. So I need to know now how this is going to be taken care of. It's gone on for long enough.
I think a good example would be to make sure you like document and send photos. You can send to my office.
I have done that.
Okay, send those to my office, then we can.
I have done that.
Okay. I haven't got any, so it might have been sent to a wrong email, but if you don't mind resending them.
I'll send them again.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank
you. Okay. Any other comments?
Judy Bendorf, Grandpa's Road. We still need to get the county out there to blade that road. It's only getting worse. And I know at one point we were asking Metro why they didn't patrol out there more, and one of the reasons was the road's so rough. So anyway, and it's been pretty quiet crime-wise as far as I know, so thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Caroline Adams with the library. I just want to thank Michelle for letting us use this room. And just corrected what Michael said about the sewing class. We are partners with Parks and Recs, and Michelle does most of the work, 90%. So I just want to thank her and make sure that her name is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Okay.
No
questions now?
Can we move on? No, we're still on. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
So, announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county or community meetings and events for discussion only. Do you have any? Okay. All right.
Thank you again.
All right. So there are no planning zoning items, no general business. So here we go. Comments by the general public period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board/council's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, if applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board/council wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board/council by majority vote. Anybody have anything?
Judy Bundorf, that's Bundorf, Grandpa's Room. Just an update on Walking Box Ranch. Still no public events planned, but we did get some good news from Bureau of Land Management that they have been approved for a grant through the Great American Outdoors Act to finally restore the barn. The roof's been blowing off, and with every wind, more sheets are gone. And also there's been some water damage in the residence that should be repaired with this. But I'm sure it'll be a slow process. They're going to begin working on the statement of work in May. So when the contract will actually be done, I have no idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else anybody would like to say? Go ahead, step up to the microphone.
Kim Colton, 675 U.S. Highway 95. I would like to comment about the trash situation also in Searchlight. We have the surrounding property around Terrible Hurst. We have been working with them constantly. I paid someone to clean up the property in the fall of 21. It is absolutely horrific right now, and it's all on our property. But it is not generated by the desert that we have. It's generated by Terrible Herbst. I am currently working with them, and hopefully they will put a permanent remedy to this and put a fence around it so then you can pick up the trash and it will be contained on their property and not flow into the desert. So I'm informing the board and the town of this, that we are currently working on this, because I don't want to have a notice from code enforcement that I have debris on the property. We have had several notices from code enforcement, and it was things that I was not aware of. Somebody had drug four vehicles behind the jail which was not on our property, onto our property, because they were brought through a code enforcement from their side, so then now all it was done was brought onto our property, and it was $6,350. And what I would ask for those individuals that are calling code enforcement is to be a good neighbor. Come to the neighbor and let them know, watch for this. I didn't know somebody drug four vehicles onto my property. So what we need to do is be good neighbors for each other's benefit and not go and call code enforcement for everything. If you have a concern with someone, take it to that neighbor, be a friend, be a partner in this community so that we can clean it up together and work together. So we did do our job and we removed it and two other vehicles that were not on our side so that the area behind the jail would be cleaned up. So we went above and beyond, and all I ask is that in the future, should somebody have something that is affected, that it's on my property or my family's property, please let us know and be a friend. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to discuss any items? Okay. All right, with that, next meeting date will be May 11th, 2022, and adjourn this meeting. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.